Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for Big Brother 19 on August 25th. We are here to talk to you about everything that happened last night after the HOH competition. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I have brought you John Krause. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing all right. I'm just trying to figure out. I might have done something last night that it was a big mistake. I think I mentioned, I meant to mention your name, but I think I mentioned Alex's name instead. And I'm just very confused about what I'm even doing anymore.
Yeah, you know, it happens. There was a decent amount that happened. I have the whole hunt for the Hinky votes like chronicled. So that'll be fun.
Great.
Yeah. But we start the night off. Obviously, Mark gets evicted in the live eviction 4-2. Alex and Jason casting these rogue votes against Matt. That's going to be the main topic of the night, is trying to figure out who those votes were. So that'll be interesting. And then we get our endurance competition after the live eviction. We had Kevin drop out first, followed by Matt and then Josh. Not super surprising that those are the first three down. Raven then tries to make a deal with people. And it doesn't take at all. Would you take a deal if Raven offered it, John?
God,
we're almost called you Matt. He's talking about messing names up.
That's so funny. You can just call me Matt. That's fine. I think that's whatever.
Are you an expert loser?
Yeah. And I do love cereal. I've been eating it all week, actually. That's kind of funny. I do think that the show has subliminally been getting me to eat cereal again, and I'm not even joking. It's really weird. Would I take a deal with Raven? No. Let's call a spade a spade. She's a pathological liar. So I don't, you know what I mean? And also she doesn't have any power in the house. And when her obvious partner, Matt, falls off and she's trying to make a deal, you know, we talk about this from time to time too. If we're doing an endurance competition, if you're the one who's about to fall off, you're in no position to make a deal. You don't have any of the power there. Like, you try to make a deal if you're the one who's like, I can stay up here for 8 more hours. I'll drop if you cut me a deal. It's not like if you're shaken and you're like, I can't hang on anymore. Who wants to make a deal? That doesn't work.
Yeah, especially when you're basically the target for most of the people left in the competition, or at least half of the target. So, Raven gets no traction. Paul then goes down and pretty quickly followed by Raven, which means just Alex and Jason are left in the competition. Very exciting for many of the people who want Paul's plans to go awry. But Matt gets very frustrated here. He's like, "What? I'm so confused. Why are you not just dropping? Like, you're a pair. Like, it doesn't matter which one wins. Why are you not just dropping? Why are you making us stay outside right now? I want to go inside and eat my cereal. What is happening?"
I don't know what's happening. It was really weird to see Matt get all worked up. I don't know if it is withdrawals. I think that it could possibly be withdrawals from the hunger, but I don't know. Maybe he's starting to sort of wake up and smell the coffee. You know what I mean? They know that they are targeting Jason and Alex. So I think that maybe there's a little bit of residual upset about, like, well, now we can't target Jason and Alex if they're going to be the ones in power this week. Maybe he even has enough intuition to realize that they might be the obvious targets this week because of that. So maybe Matt is starting to think about the game for the first time on day, 65?
Yeah, well, as Michelle points out, he was irritated about those two votes cast against him.
Right.
And rightfully so, I guess. He was like, I took one for the team. I got myself on the block. And then what, two people are voting for me? What's going on here? So it's not super happy about that. And so ultimately, Alex makes a quote unquote deal with Jason. It seemed kind of, humorous in nature, but she's basically like, okay, give me your jury vote, give me safety, and pick me to play in the veto, and I'll drop for you. And he was like, all right, fine, that's done, we'll do it.
This is so weird. This is so weird. I don't get it, because it's not, I mean, if it's supposed to be a joke, I guess that kind of makes sense, but it's not funny. So it's not that. It's not strategic. Because they're a pair. Like, those things should be assumed. Like, if you have a ride or die and your partner goes and it's not your fault, you should expect them to vote for you in the jury. If Jason's the HOH and he needs his HOH will to be carried out for the week, and he gets the player's choice card. He should obviously choose his partner. And then I heard, you know, some people on Reddit were saying, oh, maybe they're trying to sort of obfuscate the fact that they're in an alliance, but everyone knows they're in an alliance because they've talked about how they're in an alliance. They've told everyone in the house that they're a ride or die with each other. And even Zingbot called it out. Like, it was so obvious that Zingbot was like, hey, Alex, you're carrying Jason to the end. So I don't know why they had to cut all these deals. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, it again, just like, it's so careless to do this. I mean, not only to call out the fact that, like, you're in an obvious alliance, but even just like, oh, y'all, you'll vote for me in jury, right? Like, okay, like, that's the last thing you want people to, like, know. I mean, they probably knew already, but, like, you don't need to call it out. You don't need to remind them of the fact.
Also, I'm not a very superstitious person. The one big superstition that I hold to is the first in the house curse. I do believe in that one. But that being said, if I were ever to play Big Brother, there are just certain words that you don't say because you don't want those things, right? Like, don't talk about who's going to be in jury to that person. Like, if you say to someone, like, you're going to vote for me in jury, right? Even if that's your ride or die, even if that's your best friend, like, that might put a seed in their head that's like, you're thinking of a situation where you might be in the house without me. Which is fine. Everyone should be thinking about scenarios all the time, right? Jose said scenarios. Like, you should be thinking about it. But there's certain things that you don't say. You never look a person in the eye and be like, "Hey, when you're in jury, you're going to vote for me," right? Ever. Don't ever say that. It's just bad, and nothing good can come from it.
Yeah. So Jason ends up winning this HOH, which is very fortuitous for him because he was the target coming into this week and probably would have gone home. So we are going to see a week of subterfuge. We're going to see Paul not get his way. He'll get his second best way. So that'll be interesting. But as I mentioned, as I queued up at the top of the show, we have the hunt for the hinky votes, basically, right as we get into the feeds again, when they come back. We have this whole quest, right? So it starts off, Kevin, he's very determined. He needs to find out who these votes were because he knows that everybody is going to blame him. So he's asking Christmas. He's asking Alex. Alex denies that it was her. He goes and asks Jason, who admits to Kevin, yes, I was one of the votes, but I thought the other one was you, Kevin. And Kevin's like, no. And so Jason says, well, it was probably Alex then, which, you know, he'll come to regret later. Then Kevin says, well, why didn't you guys tell me? If you guys had asked me to vote, then I would have voted with you. We could have made it a tie. And Jason's like, no, we didn't want that. He's like, oh, so it was a plan. He's like, yes, it was a plan. Which again, like, giving too much information to Kevin, he'll come to regret that one later as well. Alex, meanwhile, is trying to convince Christmas and Josh that the two votes were Kevin and Raven, saying that Raven was doing it in order to blame Kevin and or one of them. And Kevin was doing it because it's Kevin. What do you think about this whole idea from Alex trying to pin it on Kevin and Raven? Was that the smart move here?
You know, a hunt for hinky votes was my favorite Game of Thrones book. I think that was the one that I read. I read that one cover to cover. It was really a nail biter. No, this whole thing, man, it's so, I like hinky votes. As a rule, it can add interest to a season. It can set up chaos. It can kind of create situations that may not have come up, but in order to do it, you need to have a good reason to do it. You need to have somebody in the house who is kind of suspicious anyway, so that you can kind of blame that person. Which Kevin, I think at this point, people are starting to call him shady. He actually has thrown hinky votes before. So, like, on paper, in the book, I don't think that it's a terrible idea to throw a hinky vote out and be like, I think Kevin's doing it again, because they're starting to suspect that he was the one throwing the votes earlier in the season anyway. But the carrying out of this decision has just been absolutely terrible. I didn't see it on the feeds during the last week, but I assume at some point Jason and Alex discussed this plan. You'd think that they would have been on the same page at some point about how many votes to throw, who they were going to blame, what they were going to tell people. And then, I mean, I don't know who's the... Again, I think, I've said this before, this season we need not America's favorite player, but America's dumbest player. I think we need to vote for ADP because it's really a horse race. It's really going to be a photo finish here because Jason folds under pressure immediately. And he's like, oh yeah, Kevin, it was me and it was Alex. Like, okay, sometimes honesty is the best policy. Okay. But if your plan is to just be honest, then don't throw the hinky votes in the first place. But yeah. then him and Alex aren't on the same page. And so then Alex is like, I don't know. And then Alex backtracks on herself like four times in the last 12 hours where she goes, oh, it was Kevin and Raven. And oh, no, it was Jason and Kevin. And I think I might have been one of them. And now she's trying to play off like it was an accident. Like she suddenly, you know, took too much of Christmas's medication and was, you know, lost her mind for 5 seconds.
Yeah. Well, you know, basically what happens is, she's trying to convince Christmas and Josh that it was Kevin and Raven. Then she goes to Jason and says, okay, this is the plan. It was Kevin and it was Raven. And Jason's like, oh, okay. So he immediately runs back to Kevin and says, it wasn't Alex. I don't think it was Alex at all. I think I was probably mistaken about that. And then he says, I think the other one was Raven. I think it was probably Raven. Kevin doesn't buy that at all. He immediately goes to Paul and says, it was Alex and Jason. Jason told me. And I think they're trying to pin it on me. And I think Alex told Jason to do this. And I don't think he recognizes that it was in order to pin it on me. And so Paul then goes to Jason and says, was Alex the other vote? Because she's been saying she's not the other vote. And Jason says, no, Alex was not the other vote. Definitely not. And Paul seems relatively convinced that it is actually Raven. Not a great look by Paul getting fooled by Jason and Alex here. But for now, at least, he seems convinced that it was potentially Raven. But then Josh is telling Christmas, look, Christmas, it was Alex and Jason. It was definitely Alex and Jason. They were acting so sketchy. I know for a fact it has to be them. But Christmas says, all right, well, let's just pretend we believe it's Kevin and Raven because it's better for us if they think that we believe that. So Josh, actually the best detective in the house, he immediately is able to pin them down. Then Alex goes and tells Jason again, like, okay, nobody can know how we voted. Nobody can know at all. And he's like, wait, nobody. Oh, well, oh, you're going to kill me. I messed up. I may have told Kevin that I was one of the votes. And she hits him a bunch of times. And then she's like, okay, so you have to tell people that you told Kevin that in order to bait him into revealing that he was the actual vote, but that you were actually lying and that you weren't the vote. He's like, okay, I'll do that. Like that's ever going to work. Then we have Kevin going to Paul telling Paul that like I swear it wasn't me. You can't believe it was me. It has to be Alex and Jason. And also like I'm good with you. Like I've always done what you've told me. We're good together. You shouldn't doubt me. We should be checking in. And Paul basically just completely brushes Kevin off. This was like the nerdy friend you have in school and that like if in high school where you're like, oh no, I don't want to be associated with you. Just. Can we just like, can you not stand so close to me? He was like, we don't have to check in. Like, stop. Just, we need to be less. And Kevin's like following him. Like, we're going to have beers upstairs. Right. And Paul's like, Yeah. It was very awkward. So then we have Matt and Raven are convinced that Kevin is one of the votes and that Jason or Alex are one of the other votes. Paul asks Alex straight up, were you one of the other votes? And she denies it. To Paul, lying straight to Paul's face, I was not one of the other votes. And then Paul talks to Christmas, and they agree that, okay, it was definitely Alex, Jason, or Kevin. It was two of those three. But you know what? It doesn't matter. They're HOH. This doesn't matter to our game right now. So let's just drop it at the moment. And that was basically the hunt for the hinky votes. So most people believe that it was Alex, Jason, or Kevin. They don't really care. As you mentioned, Alex eventually comes out later at night and says, you know, unless it was me and I messed up, maybe that was it. But you know, as much fanfare as they made about this, it really doesn't matter because Jason and Alex are HOH, it's really just has no bearing on this week whatsoever.
All right, I've got so many things to say, and I don't even know if I can keep them all in my head right now. Let me start from the top of what I wanted to say. Tammy in the chat a few minutes ago said that Josh is smarter than the average bear for be the first to sniff out who actually threw the hinky votes. Tammy, you're correct. However, in this house, the average bear is pretty stupid. It's kind of like a house full of pretty stupid bears. So you can be smarter than average and still like not really be that, you know, that high up on the list.
Dumb bears.
Dumb bears. Hashtag dumb bears. I think that another thing worth pointing out is that if you want to throw a hinky vote, you need to be a good liar. Lying is a good skill to have in the Big Brother house. Some would say that it's an essential skill to have in the house. There are other ways to play the game. I'm a really bad liar. I think if I ever played Big Brother that I'm much better at lying by omission, right? If you know you're a bad liar, or if you are a bad liar, don't create situations where you're going to have to lie. If you're going to throw a hinky vote and then lie about it, be good at lying. Alex isn't good at lying. Paul figures out that Alex is the one who threw the hinky vote because he goes, "Did you do it?" And she said, "No." And she said it in such an inconvincing way that it's like, okay, she's the one who threw it. So like, if you're going to do this, be good at lying, or at least have a good scenario in your head that you can sort of hang your hat on. What else? The other thing too. Yeah. None of this matters. They're HOH now. So they didn't need to stir the pot entirely. What's another thing I wanted to say? I kind of like that someone is now lying to Paul. I kind of like the idea that they're starting to kind of go against Paul a little bit. And in fact, it helps them in a way that they don't even realize, because they don't even realize that they were the next target, right? Jason probably would be going home this week if he wasn't HOH, and it was going to be at Paul's behest. But there's just some sort of dramatic irony. Like, they're kind of stumbling ass backwards into a good move by distancing themselves from Paul. But I can't even give them credit for it, because they're doing it for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I mean, I could ramble. I could keep rambling, but I don't think we're going to figure out. We're not going to be able to psychoanalyze any farther.
Yeah. I mean, Shanae in the chat says, so Hinky Vote Gate will blow up in Alex and or Jason's faces next week. No, probably not. I mean, again, as much as they made a big deal of this, as much as this was a funny thing to chronicle over the course of the night, it really just doesn't matter, because they were already targets moving into next week, and they're safe this week. So like, I don't think it's going to make a difference one way or the other.
They voted against Matt. So like, aside from Paul, who already is targeting them, you know, by doing this, they might create a division between themselves and Matt and Raven, but that's who they were going to target each other anyway. So it absolutely changes nothing.
Yes. And I do think that part of Alex felt like, oh, this is great jury management. I got a sympathy vote in for Mark. He's going to be so grateful. But, you know, that's Alex.
I will say, in Mark's long form exit interview, he said that he was asked who's running the house right now. And his answer was that Mark believes that Alex and Jason are running the house, and that Paul is kind of like a tertiary floater. So as silly as this sounds coming from Alex, she might be right. Mark at least thinks that they're in control and seems to have respect for that.
Yeah, and you know, we'll talk about the ramifications of Jason winning this HOH, because as we mentioned, this is not Paul's plan. He did not want Alex and Jason to survive another week. And with Alex being the one that's going to be able to play in the HOH next week as well, that gives them a somewhat decent shot at staying alive yet again in the house. And that's not good for Paul at all. He does not want to get down to final five with Alex or and Jason in the house at all. I mean, what, we've got eight people left?
Yes.
So we'll be going down to seven with Alex, Jason, and Kevin still in the house. Paul has done a good job at keeping Kevin separate from those two, but they could always repair that relationship if they find out the lies that Paul has been telling. So that's a dangerous situation for Paul that he wants to avoid if he can by taking Jason out. And then, you know, going down to seven, if Alex wins the next HOH, then they're now at six, with three of those people being Alex, Jason, and Kevin. And they're very good at competitions, and Paul has intentionally kept people that are bad at competitions so that he can beat them, which leaves a very slim field for him. It would basically be those three versus Paul, Christmas, and Josh. We know Christmas and Josh are probably not going to help him win any competitions anytime soon. Paul might end up finding himself unintentionally going down to the final five, even potentially final four, with this final three that he's created with Jason and Alex that he doesn't actually want to go with, because they would probably take each other. And they're also two of the people that could potentially beat him in the final two. Alex, maybe not as much, but I do think that Jason has the potential to beat Paul in that final two if that ends up happening at all. So this is not looking great for Paul. He's it's starting to look like there could be some situations where he could be in a little bit of trouble if they keep winning competitions.
I'm gonna disagree with you here. I think that what you're saying is true in like any other replacement level season, but Alex and Jason have already had several conversations in the last, you know, 12 plus hours. And Alex has said that she thinks that if Christmas wins HOH, that she would nominate Josh and Raven. So Alex has no idea that Christmas and Josh are working together. And she thinks that Christmas might be like a number for their side. And Alex and Jason have also discussed how Paul is still with them. They aren't sniffing out the fact that Paul wants Jason to go out next. And even though you're right that if in that situation, which is an interesting sort of what if that you created there, if it gets down to this six where it's Kevin and Jason and Alex on one side, maybe Paul and Christmas and Josh would see it that way, and maybe Kevin would see it that way, but Alex still wants to target Kevin. She's still against Kevin. She still wants to create this entire lie was created to hurt Kevin. And so I don't think Alex has any interest in repairing that relationship with Kevin. So yes, I think that, you know, Jason winning definitely Paul's plan for this and next week. I think it's possible, maybe even likely, depending on what the competition is, that Alex could win next week. I don't think it's going to hurt Paul.
Well, here's the thing, though, because somebody has to take Jason out, right? So at the very least, somebody has to take Jason out for Paul to get toward the end, because he does not want a final three of Alex and Jason, because they will probably take each other. For as much as we said that Alex is in the pocket of Paul, I do think that she would take Jason, and Jason would definitely take her. So he does not want that situation at all. And somebody needs to take Jason out. And ideally for Paul, he also wants somebody to take Alex out, but that's too difficult at this point. But the problem is, who does that now? Because if Josh is not great at competitions, if Christmas is ineligible to even compete in half of them, then all of a sudden you're left with hoping that Raven wins an HOH so that she can take a shot at Jason. Otherwise, Paul has to do it himself, and that's not good for Paul at all. If he is the one to take Jason out, Alex is going to be pissed, and it's a very tricky situation for him. Not only does he have to, like, on the sly, let Matt or Raven go this week, he has to find a way to take Jason out next week or the week following without winning HOH himself, which means he's relying on people who are not good at competitions to win one over somebody who is very good at competitions in Alex. So it's not a great situation. Honestly, maybe what Paul needs to do is try to figure out a way to take Kevin out this week. And we'll talk about how he could potentially do that. Basically, the nomination talk was Raven and Matt immediately are like, okay, so we're going up in the block. Matt is like, should I even unpack my bags? Probably not. Raven wants Matt to talk to Jason and be like, look, we've already volunteered so many times. It's somebody else's turn. And of course, Matt is like, that wouldn't be like being a team player. We'd be throwing other people under the bus. So we can't do that. That makes sense, right? They're playing on a team.
You know what? You said it earlier. You said that when you called this HOH Alex and Jason's HOH. So like all of this team talk has started to infect our brains too. But no, Big Brother, believe it or not, it's still not a team game. This season is not a team game. There will only be one winner. Only one person is HOH. But yeah, I mean, everyone inside the house and even people outside of the house are starting to think of these pairs as like one actual player unit. These aren't the Pax brothers. These are actually two different players, and they need to wake up and stop, but it'll never happen.
Yeah. So Paul talks to Alex, and they agree the plan should be nominate Matt and Raven with the smoke screen of we're gonna backdoor Kevin. And so Paul is like, should I go talk to Matt and Raven and convince them that we're backdooring Kevin? Alex is like, yes, do it. So Paul goes to them. He tells them, look, she said I might go up as a pawn. It might be you. It might be me and you. It might be me and Raven. Who knows? But maybe it'll be you and Raven. That could be a possibility too. It's fine because we're going to backdoor Kevin. All we need to do is win the veto. Kevin will go up. We'll backdoor him. It'll be great. They seem relatively convinced because, you know, everything that Paul says is, in fact, gospel. So
the gospel of Paul?
Yeah. So Paul then later in the night solidifies the plan with Jason and Alex in the HOH, saying, OK, here's the deal, though. If we win veto, we take one of them down and put Kevin up as like, oh, look, we're following through with the back door. Then we sneakily vote out Matt over Kevin. And then you can act innocent. Like, whoa, I didn't know that was going to happen. So this doesn't make a whole lot of sense if the goal is to take Matt out. There's no reason to really to put Kevin up on the block. Obviously, Paul wants to avoid Matt and Raven finding out that they're being targeted until the very last second. That could be part of it too. But if Paul so desires, if he goes through with this plan and he actually gets Kevin to nominate, or actually gets Jason to nominate Kevin as a fake backdoor pawn, he would have the votes to then take Kevin out over Matt, which would leave Matt in the game to go after Alex and Jason. Granted, Matt isn't the greatest at competitions either, but I mean, he's better than the rest of them, I have to imagine. So, but granted, Paul has not made this, he has not said that this is his plan at all. As far as we know, his plan is to currently actually vote Matt out. But if Paul starts to think about it, he might realize that taking Kevin out may be the better play. And he may even be able to do it without angering Alex and Jason, if he, because there's five votes this week, right? So Alex and Paul could be the votes to take out Matt. Raven, Christmas, and Josh could vote out Kevin, and he can play innocent. And he's definitely good enough to convince Christmas and Josh that that's the right move for them so that he can stay playing the other side. So we could theoretically see this happen. If Paul thinks anything like I do, he might come up with this plan. But for now, it seems as though Matt is the target.
Yeah, you know, I have to give props to Paul here. He's put in a lot of work since the live feeds came back up after last night, and he's continued to put himself in a good position. You know, we talked a little earlier about how this outcome of Jason winning may not be a perfect scenario, but Paul has done a really, really good job here because he's not going to be nominated, obviously, and he's not going to be a replacement nom, obviously. He's going to control all three of the nominations, and he's also created a scenario where everyone is totally happy with what's going to happen. Jason and Alex think this is a great idea. They love the idea of rattling Kevin because, again, Alex doesn't like Kevin anymore. And so they think that it would be great to sort of scare Kevin. They think that it will continue that narrative of like, what's Kevin up to? Can we trust him? Obviously, Christmas and Josh are going to be on board because they're Paul's true final three. And also, they aren't getting nominated at all. So that's good for Christmas and Josh. And then Matt and Raven are going to be totally fine with it because Matt and Raven have continuously gone to bat and being happy to be pawns. They're happy to be pawns. So as long as they think that Kevin's going to go up, they'll be happy to be pawns. And then once Kevin actually does go up, they'll still be happy. And so it'll be really a true blindside if it does happen the way that you just suggested. And then also we have a situation where Paul gets to choose. He actually now has until Thursday night to figure out what he wants. He now has three very viable options that could go good for him. And he has now the privilege of having a lot of time to actually think about it and figure out which way he wants to go. Because you're totally right. Whoever he wants to go will go, whether it is Matt or Kevin or Raven. So I props to him for sure. The one fly in the ointment, and again, this might be my bias, is I still think that they're underestimating Kevin. I think that the moment that Kevin goes on the block, I think that he is going to go bananas. And I don't think that we've seen an angry, driven Kevin yet this season. And, you know, maybe it'll fizzle out and it'll be really disappointing, but it could be really like a force to be reckoned with. And that might be something that they're not expecting, is just what will Kevin do when his feet are to the fire?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin has, and basically anytime he has a conversation with Paul on the down low, he's reminding Paul, I did everything you told me to do. Like, you knew about the 25,000. I cast a hinky vote for you. Like, he is 100% going to spill all of that information the second he feels like Paul has turned his back on him. And I don't know if Paul recognizes that at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways this week can play out. Tom Palmer in the chat pointed out earlier that Paul could theoretically get Alex to vote out Kevin this week. That's a possibility as well. Alex, obviously, if Paul convinces her enough, would be down to take out Kevin. So I really think the biggest hindrance to any sort of plan that Paul has this week is getting Jason to put up Kevin as the pawn. I don't think Jason wants to do that if he can help it. If Jason wins the veto, I don't think he'll use it. If Alex wins the veto, I think Jason will be like, please don't use it. And there's a chance she might not use it. And then obviously Matt and Raven would be stuck up on the block in that instance. And then even if the veto is used, say Paul wins it and uses it on Raven or something, I could see Jason being like, no, I'm not going to put Kevin up. That's just, let me just put up Christmas instead. So there is definitely some obstacles to overcome in terms of that. And then we also have, of course, the temptation twist,
right,
that people have been talking about. So let's walk through like what that could do to mess up Paul's plans or help Paul's plans throughout the week. Obviously, the temptations left are the double veto, can't play next HOH, cancel two eviction votes, and bounty on your head, correct?
Do we know what bounty on your head actually means? Are we sure about that?
It means the HOH that takes you out gets $5,000.
Okay.
Yes. So like if Matt went and chose the bounty apple, then Jason, if Matt went home this week, Jason would get $5,000. I think it probably should have been more than 5,000, to be honest. But I guess that would have been a little less fair. So theoretically somebody is going to take one of these apples if they feel, but here's the problem. I think they have to take it before the nominations. So yeah. Obviously Kevin feels pretty safe right now because Jason is HOH. Matt and Raven feel somewhat convinced that Kevin is the backdoor target. So they're feeling pretty comfortable. So there is definitely a possibility that nobody takes any of these and we don't see any effect. But I do think that we could see Matt or Raven take it, thinking, you know what, we might as well. And also, Paul was talking to Christmas last week saying, maybe you can take it because you can't compete anyway. It's not the worst thing in the world if you end up like not being able to compete in HOH or anything like that. So there's definitely a possibility that it gets taken. The double veto could obviously be pretty disastrous. If Matt and Raven get vetoed off the block, we'd see some craziness happen. I don't think Paul would be nominated, but we'd probably see Kevin and maybe one of Christmas and Josh. Probably see Kevin go home in that instance. The can't play in the next HOH. Who knows? Maybe if Matt got that one, they'd target Raven instead. Would that happen?
Yeah, possibly. I do think that there's sort of two separate conversations to have here, which is that if they are allowed to take the apples after nominations, then I definitely could see Kevin grabbing one. But I do trust you. And if you say that they can't until nominations or they can't after nominations, then I really do think that none of them will take it. Kevin is the only one I think that would have the balls to sort of grab an apple and piss off the whole house. But if he feels safe right now, and then once he's nominated, it's too late, then I don't see that happening. But maybe going forward, like let's say that Kevin does get put up as a replacement nom and then he doesn't end up going home. I think that just by being nominated that Kevin could see like where he actually stands in the house. And then I think that he would definitely go and grab one next week if he survives into the next week. And really there aren't any, I think bounty on your head, it depends on who gets that one. These people have turned their noses down at money several times. They're all kind of turning their nose down at $500,000. And it would depend on who grabs it. Like if Paul grabs it, like no one's going to be like, oh, let's get Paul out so that we can get $5,000. Like they're not doing that. So I don't know. I could see them targeting Raven. You know, they've already been talking about maybe getting rid of Raven instead of Matt this week. Alex and Jason have discussed who would be better to keep in the house in terms of who would implode more. Like without Matt, if Raven were in the house, would she be more of a mess? Or without Raven in the house, would Matt be more of a mess? So they've actually kind of gone back and forth on that a little bit.
Yes, Stephanie in the chat says, dumb bears like honey, not apples. So
Right, which are also in trees.
Yes. So I'm getting some conflicting reports in the chat in terms of, like, some people think, yes, definitely has to be before nominations. But on the other hand, Mark took them before nominations. So theoretically, I don't know if they've ever stated that the tree will definitely not light up past the nominations. You assume that they want the apples to be taken. So maybe in fact, this week, the tree will light up after nominations and they will get a chance to take one afterwards. That would make sense to me in terms of, because any of those things, the double veto is, they did say it on the show that it had to be before nominations. Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense, but it also would make sense that they would be like, you know what? Screw that. We want the apples to be picked. So maybe we're going to light it up afterward. But according to the chat, now I'm getting much, much better reports now that I started talking about it. As they said, yes, definitely before nomination. So I was not wrong about that. When we talk about this, like the bounty on your head, that could theoretically change the eviction order. The cancel to eviction votes, that could be the thing that changes things the most. Yeah.
Because we have 5 votes this week. And so, you know, that wouldn't necessarily shift the majority. But if you just have one person who's willing to flip, that can change everything. And then going forward, we're going to have 4 votes, 3 votes, 2 votes. And so canceling 2 votes is really big.
Yeah, I mean, because if we do see like Kevin up on the block and Matt or Raven gets the cancel to eviction votes, then we could probably see them stay even if Paul doesn't decide to vote them out. Is that even possible? No, because Alex, Christmas, Josh, and Paul would all vote. And even if they took 2 of those votes out, then it would still be 1-2. So that wouldn't make too much of a difference. It would probably remove Paul's ability to sneakily take out Kevin if Kevin got it or Jason got it, because they would probably cancel out Raven's vote and somebody else who would probably vote for Kevin to go. So that could theoretically make a little bit of a difference, but for the most part, it looks like this is not going to be having a huge impact on this week.
I don't think it's going to bear any fruit.
Yes. Between it probably not even getting anybody even choosing one of the apples, even if one of them does get chosen, I think it's just going to, like, the most impact it can probably have is maybe Raven goes instead of Matt. Right. Either way, Paul still controls all of the numbers. If he decides he wants Kevin out or he wants Matt out or he wants Raven out, it'll probably be whoever Paul decides. Don't look forward too much to the temptation twist this week.
And let's be clear here. There are people who should be picking up the apple. Matt and Raven should be picking up the apple because they know that Jason and Alex are targeting them because they're targeting Alex and Jason. And ultimately, none of those punishments are bad enough that it would hurt their... They have all the incentive in the world to pick an apple. Same thing with Jason. Like Jason is allowed to pick an apple too, right? Like, the worst one that he could get is... can't play next week's HOH. Well, he can't play next HOH anyway. So Jason is in a great position where he really has a 3 out of 4 chance of picking up something that's really, really good. But I don't think that any of them will pick it.
Yes. All right. So we end the day with Christmas and Josh talking again. Josh again saying, no, look, it was Alex and Jason. Christmas says that's too obvious. It's not Alex and Jason that were those hinky votes. But Josh seems pretty convinced. Christmas also asking Josh, like, are you starting to question Paul a little bit here? Because it seems like you are. And he's like, no, I'm not questioning Paul. But it does look like he's getting kind of close to Alex and Jason now that they're HOH. Like, I don't know what's happening there. And Christmas says, no, don't worry. I mean, this is what he's supposed to be doing. He's not going to take them far. I've got a good read on Paul. He's only with them right now because he has to be. He'll take them out when he has the opportunity. Man, again, Josh really being the only person in this game that's showing any sort of sign of, like, maybe he takes Paul out, maybe he He certainly calls out Alex and Jason here. We've been calling them the Steve Moses of the season. It's looking stronger and more. It's looking like that's a stronger and stronger case as we move forward in this game. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think there are two sort of underreported stories here. Number one, I do think that Josh is smart. Like we said, he's the smarter than the average bear in the house this year. I think that really his problem all season has been his emotional immaturity through and through. And that goes to age. He is one of the youngest people that is playing this season. He's talked about in the house how he's never really left home before. He's kind of a mama's boy. He always talks about that himself. So, I think that if we had cast Josh maybe in a few years when he's a little bit older, a little bit more emotionally mature, he could really be a great player to be reckoned with. As it is now, I do think that it's still surprising how good of a read he has on the house, which is impressive and good. And I do think that if we're talking about who is going to unseat Paul, who could possibly win, I think that Josh has a pretty good chance going forward. And which really makes it even more of a shame that he's been so annoying, at least to me this season. And also he's made a lot of bad moves sort of early on. The other underreported story here, though, is, and I don't want to suck Paul's kneecaps too much here, but this is a great thing that he has done consistently this season that I don't think we've talked about a lot, is that he's created a scenario in the house where it is anathema to talk to anyone that is not in your alliance. If you go talk to the other side of the house, you're done. Mark's death warrant was signed because he was unwilling to completely stop talking to Dominique and Cody and to Jessica. But Paul talks to everybody and everyone knows it. And so Paul creates a situation where it's like, you shouldn't talk to those people, but I'm going to go talk to those people because I have to. I don't want to do it. I want to be like you. I don't want anything to do with them. They're the bad guys. We're together. They're the bad guys. You shouldn't go talk to them, but I have to go talk to them. I'm doing this for us, and I hate it. I hate talking to them, but I'm going to go talk to them. And we see that in this conversation where Paul's not even in the room, and they're like, oh, Paul, Christmas is defending him, saying like he doesn't want to be over there. He doesn't want to talk to them. He's doing it for us. He's doing it because he has to. And that's amazing. That's something that is really hard to accomplish, where you can literally be a huge hypocrite, where you're saying it's bad to talk to people, but I'm going to go do it. And not only is he not getting punished for it, but he's getting accolades for it. He's getting kudos for it. I think that's an underreported story about one of the things of Paul's game.
Yeah, he's basically taken these pairs in the house, he's locked them all in separate rooms, and he's the only one that gets to run around the house and communicate for them, and they just have to believe what he tells them because they know nothing other than their own room. He's the guy that comes back to Plato's cave and he's telling them lies about the outside.
I believe in Plato's cave, the person who comes back to Plato's cave gets murdered because they think that he's a liar. So I don't know if that's the best analogy.
But that's the thing. He is a liar instead of telling the truth, and they're all believing him.
It's sort of the inverse of that. Exactly. What I thought of when you talked about everyone being locked into separate rooms is a classic episode of The Genius, where people are locked into rooms and then they have to rely on the information of other people because of a horse race that's happening.
Watch The Genius, guys.
It's real good.
Yeah. In talking about Josh, I'm kind of thinking about Josh now as I think we forget that he is a big fan of the show, right? And so when we talk about how he is potentially our Steve Moses, he really is in a lot of ways, because he is basically the super fan on the cast. He knows the show better than most of the people, including Paul, certainly including Paul, probably more than anyone in that house right now. And I think that's where this sort of good insight is coming from. It's that he's familiar with the show much more than other people. So, his social ability is the thing that's lacking. I mean, Josh is really our super fan nerd of the season in disguise, because he's so brazen and brash, but I think that's where this is coming from. I guess the only hindrance to that is that he's not good at competitions in the way that like a Steve or an Ian would be. But again, he is in this good position. He's being underestimated by Paul. He's got good instincts. He's got the knowledge. So he's our Steve Moses. That's what we've got with Josh.
I would say he's like a less charming Johnny Mac, right? Johnny Mac was very good at keeping it secret that he was a super fan of the show. But that's what has been an interesting thing about this season, is that in terms of super fans, this is one of the most super fan heavy casts that we've had. Josh absolutely is, but so was Cameron, so was Ramses, and to a somewhat lesser extent, Mark has definitely seen a lot of the show. He's been watching it since he was a little kid. Jessica is another person who has watched a lot of the show. She talked a lot about Janelle in the preseason interviews, so that she's been watching for a long time. She used to watch it with her dad when she was a little kid. So this is a season with a lot of what we would call super fans. And so that makes it even more sort of baffling that we've been seeing the style and the level of gameplay that we've been seeing.
Well, I think, you know, when we talk about like super fans, I think it's a lot of people who like watched the show very casually and like were fans of the show, but never really like, you know, got too deep into strategy or anything like that. Like they never watched the live feeds. They never like, you know, I think Josh is probably the closest we have to that. He's somebody who watched Big Brother Canada and all of that. Sure. But the rest of them, you know, they were the kinds of people that were like, oh yeah, we'll throw it on and I'll watch it with my dad. And like, then we'll be done and we'll talk about how great of a character Janelle was. You know what I mean?
I mean, maybe I'm overestimating these people, but I don't know. If you catch enough seasons of the show, even if you aren't a live feed watcher, I feel like you have to have some sort of intuition. Like you have to know a little bit. Like maybe they don't know like, oh, day, blah, 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 that's the OTEV day or whatever. But like, if you've been watching since you were a kid, I don't know, like you'd think that just by osmosis, you'd pick up a little more than we've seen from a lot of these people.
You'd think, yeah. I do think part of it was like people like Mark and Jessica, who may have been a little bit better, at least in the house, got very distracted by the showman's aspect. Obviously, Paul was a huge influence on how these people end up playing in the house.
Sure.
And of course, I mean, we know Ramses and Cameron were people who watched the feeds and were into the show. But obviously, they you know, Cameron never really got a chance. I still think Cameron is one of the few people that would not have fallen for Paul's spell, just because he's so familiar with the game. Ramses wasn't either, but he couldn't really do anything about it, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, people have talked about, you know, sort of what this season would be like without Paul. And I think that that's such an interesting question, because not only would he not be in the house and his influence, but we would have Cameron there. It's not like we would have the same group of 15 other people. We would have still had 16 people with Cameron instead of Paul. So the dynamic is just so different from what it could have been and what it would have been. And we'll never know. You know, maybe it would have been a worse season. Maybe everyone would have just gotten in line and followed behind whomever, you know, Cameron or Jason or something, but it could have been something really, really different.
Yeah. All right. That's our update for today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back tomorrow at noon Eastern to update you on everything that happens with the nominations and all of that. It should be lots of fun. The Saturday updates are usually pretty fun. So make sure you check that out. We had a great podcast with Aubrey last night. There were a couple of people that, why are you having a Survivor person on a Big Brother recap? Get out of here. Yeah, I have no time for that.
You should be so lucky to have Aubrey Bracco come and talk on your podcast. You should be so lucky to listen to her.
Exactly. The whole point of the podcast is to get different perspectives on the game. So get out of here with that stuff. Yes, then we will be live Monday morning to talk about the Sunday night episode. There is no Sunday recap, the Game of Thrones thing, and lots of other stuff will be in the way for Rob. So we'll be doing that in the morning on Monday. So check that out. And then, of course, on Tuesday, I will be releasing the next Taryn show. I don't know.
Who is it?
I don't know. It's going to be Melissa Denny. I talked to Melissa Denny, and yes.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, people don't know Melissa very well. She's the newcomer. So I thought it was really fun to get her, you know, to talk about herself and like get to know Melissa Denny a little bit better. So
as a fellow robot, I'll say that she has already beamed the interview into my brain via Wi-Fi, and it's good.
Yes. She talked about, you know, the So You Think You Can podcast competition, and she thought she was going to lose to you, John.
Maybe she Maybe she did. I don't know. I don't have a good comeback for that.
Maybe she should have, is what you...
No, I would never say that. She's a very deserving winner.
Yes. All right. So, yes, that'll be lots of fun. So check all that stuff out. Thank you all for joining us. We will see you next time.
Bye.